what he was just singing. Please just close your eyes with me. I'm not trying to control you when I say that. I just don't want you distracted. So I'll tell you, it's time to turn our eyes to Jesus. Amen. All of life is trying to mold us and shape us. The things that happened and didn't happen are trying to cry out in a louder voice than the love of God through Jesus Christ. Sometimes we're influenced by everything but God and don't even realize it. There's a way that seems right to a man, but its way leadeth unto death. Lord God, lead us in the path of righteousness. Lead us according to truth today. Cause our eyes to see. Cause our hearts to understand. Lord, we close our eyes and just fix on you right now. We're not distracted. Troubles vanish and hearts are truly mended in your presence, in the truth that makes men free. God, we lay down everything right now. Father, what men did do and didn't do, what men did say and didn't say, compared to you is irrelevant in light of what you have done and accomplished through Jesus Christ. Let not one of us be distracted, Lord God, by the experience of our life, but let us be motivated, molded, and shaped by the word of truth. God, release the power and revelation of your word today. Let us be literally transformed in your presence. Come and shape us by your very own hand. The hand of the Lord be upon us. God, thank you. Troubles vanish. Hearts are mended in the presence of the King. King Jesus, we welcome you. I just thank you. Every mind clear. Every mind clear. It's beautiful. Just receive it right now. Just receive the touch of heaven. Please. Come on, there's people here you need to release. Regret right now. You need to release hurt and pain. I'm telling you, unforgiveness will devour your soul. If you don't let go of the mishap, it'll crush your soul. God, listen, if it doesn't add to your life and encourage your heart, it's not from the Lord. The mindset, I don't care how right it seems, if it doesn't add to you spiritually, it's not from Jesus. There is a way that seems right to a man. You can justify your pain. You can rationalize your feelings. But if it doesn't add to you spiritually, it's not the wisdom of God.
Amen.
I'm just encouraging you right now to let go everything that needs to be let go of. Anything that hasn't motivated and provoked your spirit into him, it needs to die today. God, touch your people and move by the power of your spirit. God, in Jesus' name. That's beautiful. That's the will of God. That song was right. Why don't you sing it real soft? Just real soft. Come on, receive from him, people. Look, there's just a few of us here, but God knows who you are and knows that you're here. Disappointments, discouragement, regrets. Come on, it's just trying to stop the purpose and will of God. It's trying to close the door to your inheritance and your purpose and your calling. What are we going to do when we stand before the light of his majesty and find that we believe something less than him? What are we going to do when we stand before him and realize that we've been deceived and we've grabbed something that influenced us other than his spirit? God, I just trust you right now. You might say it doesn't even make sense. I feel so justified in how I feel and what I've been through. But God, you're greater. I trust you today. God, let your spirit move through this place. Spirit of God, heal in men's hearts before we deliver the word, before we share. Put everybody in a place, Lord God, by your grace, to receive what you're saying. God, thank you for healing right now. Just healing. Thank you for healing. God, thank you for healing. Thank you. Thank you, God, for healing. Thank you. You just be mended in your heart. You be blessed. The Spirit of the Lord is upon you. He loves you. Wow. Daughter of the King. Just being his girl. Enjoy being his girl. Boy, just enjoy being saved. The freshness of your salvation, I hear. I hear God saying, just the freshness of who I am. Let it embrace you, daughter. Father, just bless your people right now. Just touch and bless and encourage your people. Holy Spirit of the Lord. God, you're good. Strength and encouragement. Every stronghold be broken. And you be free to worship the King. You just be free to be loved. I just pray wholeness over your heart, health and wholeness over your soul. Bless you in Jesus' name. Bless you, Lord. Just receive people. I'm telling you, it almost seems like life's been too hard, but I'm telling you, God's just too good. We've got to get our eyes on Him. Be blessed, ladies, in the presence of Jesus. Be blessed and be free. And receive the love of Jesus. Just receive the strength of heaven into your spirit. God is for you, not against you. He's with you. Oh, Lord. Lord, you're so good. You know these ladies, God. You know them. Bless them. Spirit of God, that's right, be upon her. Heal her spirit, soul, and body. God, heal her. That's right. That's beautiful. Just go right through her presence of Jesus. I'm telling you, He's lifting the weight and encumbrance of the things that try to press you down. Yeah, you feel that. It's good. He's just taking it off of you. And sometimes you think so hard, you try to figure it all out. But God's saying, man, just look to me and trust me. Begin to learn to lift your hands freely and say, God, I know you love me. And I know you're going to work it out. Thanks for loving me. See, you're not created, honey, to carry the things that you've carried. And God's saying, I'm taking that burden from thy shoulder, that yoke from around your neck. And I'm showing you my love today. Yeah, that's really good. I don't know how He does it. He's just God, but He has the ability to lift your soul and free your heart. Oh, God, He loves you. Yay, thank you, Jesus. Shh. God. Shh. God, I'm just here to say this to you. Take courage and take heart and don't forget what I've told you, son, says the Lord. That's all I hear for you. I know that makes sense. Take courage and take heart. God, bless my brother and thank you for his humility, his heart crying before you. What a man of God. I see that is honorable and humble. Our talk today, God, I ask you to bless him and thank you. It says ask and it shall be given. God, he's asking. Surely it's finding. God, release his heart from pain, frustration, loss, because this is a man of God. I call you a man of God. I call you pastor. And I say you be blessed and receive the power of the Spirit of the living God. And you receive the infilling and freshness of who he is. And Pastor Ed, your heart be strengthened and your heart be encouraged. And let this be a brand new, fresh day of the breath of God breathing through your spirit. And I declare understanding and revelation upon revelation. And I thank you, Father, for the impartation of your loving grace in his life like never before, God. You hear the heart cry of your son. And I thank you for responding in the light of who you are. Father, I thank you that Ed's experience is Jesus' experience because of your grace that you're granting him and clothing him in today. Bless him, God. Yes, yeah, strength. In your spirit. God, we worship you. Oh, how we love you. You're really good, Jesus. I just want to bless you. It's okay. Don't panic. It's good. Jesus loves you, honey. It's just a simple blessing. Be blessed. I'm so glad you're here. God, thank you. Bless her. Bless her. Bless her. Free her from any discouragements, God. Father, when she looks in the mirror, let her see what you see. God, don't let her be hard on herself. Don't let her weigh herself short. God, when she looks in the mirror, let her see what you see. God, I thank you for encouraging my sister and building her strength in the Lord. You're the Almighty God. You created this one in your image and you love her. Manifest your glory to and through her life. Bless you in the presence of the Lord. God. God, we worship.
We're just not in a hurry. See, God's good.
We love you, Jesus. Hey, Dawn, be renewed in the spirit of your mind and receive the grace of Almighty God. No, no, no. It's not a struggle. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Be unpeeled and freshly wrapped in the presence of the Lord. I'm telling you, God's doing a great and wonderful thing. It's not striving. You can't work hard enough. You can just believe his word. And then the work that you'll do will be the work of your faith. It'll be the reaction and the response to what you see. And it'll just be that simple and that free. I speak revelation knowledge over you. Sister Dawn, I declare revelation knowledge over your life, a grace of revelation where what your heart has sought for and cried for and even struggled for at times, you'll just begin to see. For surely the spirit of grace and revelation is upon you. And what a joy to be his. Amen. God, we worship you. Thank you, Lord. Thanks for jumping up there, man. You definitely know the Holy Ghost, don't you? Amen. I appreciate you. Thank you. I like that. Did you hear what he said? He said, we're good friends. Yes, we are. You know that Jesus said in John 15, I don't no longer call you servants, I call you friends. Do you know why he called us friends? He said, because a servant doesn't know what his master's doing. That means we do. Come on. God's not playing charades. He's not living in total darkness and mystery. He's revealed through his son. Jesus on the earth in the flesh is the ta-da of God. And he said, when you see me, you have already seen the Father. I like it. He doesn't call us servants. He calls us friends. Why? Because a servant doesn't know what his master's doing. That means a friend does. Now watch this. He says, study and show yourself approved. There's something we all have got to do. We've got to honor this as the word of God. Accept it and embrace it and let it become who we are. Not quote it and know what it says. Become it. Faith without works is dead. If you hear and do, not hear and rationalize, not hear and intellectualize, not hear and memorize. If you hear and do, sometimes you just don't even understand, but you know, thus says the Lord, and you say, okay. I've said things to people and walked up to people and I've done things and I thought, God, if this isn't you, I'm finished. You can't understand sometimes, but you walk in love, you stay in his presence and love releases truth in your life. Faith works through love. All things come through love. Amen. Gosh, so the word of God is huge. Man doesn't live by bread alone, but every word that proceedeth out. Heaven and earth's going to pass away, but my word, he holds all things together by the word of his power. God and his word are one. It's powerful. Here's what we've done, folks. We've taken life of his as it comes. We've almost assumed that everything happens is somehow orchestrated by God. And we've defined God through life and our experiences at the cost of his word. And we say, because this happened, God must be this. And because this happened, God must be this. The Bible says we're being destroyed for the lack of our knowledge. The power of life and death is in the tongue. God can will life and we can continue to speak death. But yet God wills life and you speak death and you reap what you sow. Because God gave man an authority on the earth and he told man to subdue the earth, never to be subdued by it. We're waiting for God to move and God's waiting for us to move in the authority and the accomplishment of what he's done through Jesus Christ. This is true. It's so scriptural. It's incredible. It's not arrogant. It's not presumptuous. It's not pomptuous. It's my birthright. Confidence isn't pride. This is the confidence I have. If I pray according to his will, yay, right? I know he hears me and I have the thing. Don't throw away your confidence, Hebrews 10:36 or 5. Don't throw away your confidence. It has great reward. For you have need of endurance so that after the will of God is done, you receive the promise. So we need to endure and persevere. That means there's warfare. That means there's hardship. Endure hardship like a good soldier. There's times that things will happen you won't understand. And your temptation is, why God? How God? Oh God. My Bible in Romans 8 says that we know. My question is, do we? We know all things work together for the good. For those that love God and are called according to his purpose. Here's what happens. When things happen and we don't understand, our mind goes bonkers. It affects our love for God. We question our call in God and we go, pfft. We need to know he's good. Why don't we look there? That might be a good place to start. Romans 8. Would you go there? See, the word of God is huge, monumental in our lives. We have lived by our experience and we've defined God by our experience. And there's so many cliches that have crept into the church that aren't God and don't release God's power. They actually stop God's power. They're actually anti-Christ, anti-anointing, anti-power of God mentalities. And it's the devil's strategy. You know why? I found in Corinthians that if he ever knew what he was doing, he would not have put Jesus on the cross.
Watch. But he did.
So now we're in the era of big cover-up. Satan is trying to cover up the blunder. God played him like a fiddle, played him like a pawn. And pulled back and left it be the hour of darkness, because all Satan knows how to do is steal, kill, destroy. So his answer is always destruction and death. And he played right into the wisdom of God and crucified innocent blood. And now the guilty can go free. Oh, God. If he ever knew what he was doing, he wouldn't, but he did. So here's what he does. He realizes it on resurrection day. Because that one and mighty Holy Spirit went into the realm of the dead and brought Jesus up to life. Don't think there was a fight. Don't think he took Michael and Gabriel and watched the corridors and said, look, you know, it wasn't some detective who, look, we got to get him out of here without it. You know, don't think they tried to sneak him out the back door. Light is greater than. He went into the realm of darkness and the dead and he went poof and lit up the place. And all of hell bowed before the king, I promise you. And he said, you're coming with me, son of God. And he raised Jesus from the dead. Yay! And Jesus has the keys of authority. Death, hell, and the grave. You know he gave us the keys to the kingdom. So Satan realizes now he played into the hand of God and he thinks, oh my gosh, I just shed innocent blood. All the scriptures start going. And he starts realizing the seed fell to the ground. He sprung up. He's going to bear much fruit. Now God has released his grace. The temple curtain tore. Oh my gosh, the Spirit of God is on the earth and Jesus can reproduce himself in as many as will believe. Oh! That's the devil's standpoint. So what's he say? Okay, I got to get a grip here. Okay, that's right. I'm the master of deception. I'm the father of lies. Look, I can't defeat God, but I'm sure I can defeat them. I can't stop God, but I can stop them. And if I can stop them, I can stop God in them. God's purpose in them, God's will in them. Here's what we'll do. We'll just get them self-conscious, self-centered. We'll get them hurt and offended. We'll make them think the gospel's all about them instead of all about God. Yeah, we'll twist them up. Yeah, they're pushovers. Yeah, we can deceive them. We can't deceive God. We can't beat God, but we can beat them. Remember Eve? She was a pushover. Remember Adam? He just followed his wife. Yep, we can defeat man. So he's sure he can defeat us. He's very arrogant. He's fighting against God. He can't win, but he thinks he can, I guess. He's just evil. It's all he knows. He never stops yakking. Right? I heard a minister say once, a lady came to the altar and said, I just want to stop hearing the devil. Pray that I stop hearing the devil. He said, ma'am, I have to pray that God kills you. Here's the deal. Here's the deal. My sheep hear and obey a stranger's. You see why there's so much condemnation in the church and why the devil keeps you in sin consciousness and guilt consciousness and weakness and human awareness and, well, we'll never be perfect and da-da-da-da-da-da-da. So we can never look in the mirror and in our face and see God. People feel like, well, I don't know if God loves me. Well, I think God loves me. Well, he used to love me. Well, yeah. You know why the devil does that? Because if he can keep you from being sure whose you are and that right standing you have and be confident in that, you can't discern what voice you're hearing. I'll tell you, the devil used to talk to me a lot about certain things. He doesn't even talk to me anymore because I just preach and shout and declare truth. Oh! We think what we're going through is our problem. How we respond to what we're going through is our problem if it's not God. So the devil whispers and tells some people, you'll never be nothing. And they grab that and run with it and go, I'll never be nothing. You get it? He puts a little bit of condemnation and we don't know the word and we're not accepting the word and we're not built up receiving the love of God. I found in my Bible that God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world. So you're looking at a guy, I'm never going to be condemned ever, ever. Ever. Why? What happens if you make a mistake, Dan? Don't you feel bad about it? There's a godly sorrow in my heart. If I make a mistake and realize it, I simply quickly confess it to God. He cleanses me quickly of all unrighteousness and keeps me righteous and I'm his. Yay, that's really good. Don't ever run and put on fig leaves and try to hide. Not a good idea. Okay? Look. Who's ever done something since you've been a Christian and you knew it wasn't the best or right or it might have been sin and you felt bad about it and then for a while you felt bad and it was hard to get over it? I want to see your hands. Be honest. Okay. Now I'm going to talk straight. Don't ever do that again. You know why? Because the fact that you felt bad about it says something very important. It means you've changed and you're pure in your heart. You're not trying to miss God. In fact, you don't want to miss God. And the devil takes your weakness and pounds you to the ground with it and identifies you through what you've done instead of through what he's done. And the fact that you care enough to go, oh, that's not God. Oh, shouldn't have been there. Oh, shouldn't have done that. Oh, that's less than who he is in me. Oh, that's a good thing. It says simply go to the Father and confess, God, that was less than the value of who you are in me. That was sin. That was human weakness and human nature. And I live by the Spirit. And I thank you for washing me and cleansing me, making me mature and wiser. And thank you, God, for vindicating me and washing me. Oh, God, thanks for loving me. And you go on and live your day in the Christ. What are we doing dragging around for 3 days with our spiritual lip on the ground? You know, come on, what are we doing? What do we think that's humble and noble and accomplishing something? No, it's believing the lie. Look, you're not for sale. You've been bought with a price. You're not for sale. Don't sell out your identity. Jesus is in the wilderness. He's hungry. He's fasted 40 days. The devil comes and says, if you're the Son of God, turn the stones into bread. Tries to get you to do something to prove who you are.
Ephesians 2:10 says you're his workmanship created in his image. Yay, you gotta be before you do. I'm not who I am because of what I do. I do what I do because of who I am. Big difference. One's religion, one's spiritual and Christianity. You're his workmanship created in his image for good works. You got to receive his image. You got to be his workmanship. You got to say, thanks for creating me. Thanks for the day I was born. Thanks for foreordaining me and predestining me and loving me and saving me from the darkness. Thank you, God. Come on. At Shore Beach, boy, God, it's going to be another day. I tell you, it's going to be, I hope the car runs right and I hope my boss acts better than yesterday. And God, I just hope you're with me, God. That's the average Christian prayer anymore, you know? God, get me through today. I'll tell you, the bills are pressing me. I don't know. The boss is half a jerk. I don't even like my job anymore. God, you got to give me strength. Oh, God, help, God. Please don't pray that way. God, thank you. You live in me. Thank you. You've given me the potential to turn this very world around. My sphere of influence will be touched by the Spirit of God in me today. God, thank you for making me a lover of men because you've loved me. You've been merciful to me and I'm merciful to men. Everything you've been to me, you're teaching me to be to others. Thank you for reproducing yourself in me. And God, when I go into this day, I'm representing the King. What an honor to be alive. I appreciate life in you, Lord Jesus. Come on.
Whoa.
If we're complaining, frustrated, tired, sorry of living, and all, we are being deceived. There's something we're not seeing that's there. If it's not adding to the momentum of your life in God, you're not seeing and thinking and receiving the right thing. Do you get it? In the midst of, Paul was through more opposition than we can imagine, beaten, stoned, prisoned, and he said, you know, I've come to the place where I'm content no matter what circumstance I'm in. Why? Because he's right with God and he's doing God's will and there's much fruit to his account and his treasures are stored up in heaven. He's thinking for God. He's thinking for eternity. Some of us, and I'm not pointing to anybody specific, I'll look up. Some of us are so shallow spiritually that we'll lose our sanctity over a traffic jam or somebody pulling out in front of us. We just lose it. You idiot, you knucklehead. And we forget the value of human life. People making mistakes. Love covered a multitude of sin. It shows that we've incorporated God into our life for our sake, but we're not desiring to become like him for his sake. Because what the world needs is love. You get it? Wow. Hope you're getting that. See, what's that have to do with healing? I thought you were talking about healing. This is all about healing. What I'm telling you. Because you live from that place of a clear conscience. That's a big deal. 1 Timothy 1:5 says, the goal of all our instruction is love, which flows through a pure heart, a clear conscience, and a sincere faith. You violate your conscience, or you don't have a pure heart, your conscience gets violated, you shipwreck your faith. They all three go together. To the pure, all things are pure. The pure in heart shall see God. Look, I'm the steward of my own heart and motive. Do you understand that? And so are you. Is that fair? Do you understand that? So this morning you have the privilege of deciding what you're going to live for, who you're going to live for, how you're going to live. That's your privilege. And it's all before God. You get it? So when I wake up, I sincerely want to live for him because that's where it's at. Where else would I go, Lord? I've been on both sides of the fence now. And your side is where it's good, right? So now I'm in that place where I'm consumed. I wake up, all I can think of is living for Jesus. It's not about what ain't going right and who did what and didn't do what. It's about manifesting Jesus. It's about being like him. It's not about who could have treated me better and who failed to do this and oh my gosh and failed expectation and hurt and pain and betrayal and broken trust. That's all deception. That's useless deception. That's earthly wisdom and it stops the kingdom of God in your soul if you get your eyes on it. My call is to love and forgive and to keep on loving and keep on preaching and keep on being what God created me to be. One day I'm going to stand before him. He's going to say, you did good, son. That's what he's going to say. He's going to say, you had every right to do this in the natural, and human wisdom would have permitted this, but you kept your eyes on me, and you proved that you laid down your life because of the way you lived. See, it's not what you say that's so important. It's what you do through what you say. It's how you live. It's what you do. I said it last night. I think Jesus was approached by Nicodemus at night, and he said, you're from God, because nobody could do the things you do. He didn't say nobody could say the things you say. Nobody could do the things you do unless God was with him. The sign of belief in your life is when you live the word. We say, I believe God's my helper. Well, then that means we got to know that all things work together for the good. Well, look at that. If God's my helper, then when trial hits, when crisis hits, how do we count it all joy? Count it all joy, my brethren, James chapter 1. Count it all joy, my brethren, when you're thrown into various trials and temptations. How do you count it all joy? Why? Because there's a releasing of perseverance in that. And let her have her perfect work that you become mature, complete, lacking in nothing. You have need of endurance, so after the will of God is done, you can receive the promise. So there's hardship, there's pressures, there's things coming against us. So Satan knew what he was doing. He wouldn't have put Jesus, but he did. And now he's trying to press you out of the picture. You count it all joy. What's he mean? Count it all joy. Come on. Count it all joy and troubles. He's not talking, you got $500 worth of bills and you open the checkbook and there's $350 and you go, woohoo, praise the Lord, $150 short, you know? He's not talking about that. He's talking about looking in the checkbook and realizing it and going, God, I'm so excited. I'm in covenant with you. God, I didn't even realize what and I don't even know where this is coming from. But God, I just believe you're the provider of my life, and I'm not even sweating this right now. I just thank you, God, that you're my provider, and I appreciate you moving on my behalf. This will all work out by the end of the month. I'm not losing one bit of sleep. I'm not worrying because I trust you, Lord, and I thank you for loving me. And I just count it joy. You get a diagnosis in your body. You get a symptom in your body. Do you know what this day and age the average Christian does when they get a symptom in their body? Because I ask around. Some of you are going to get stung by this a little. You run to the internet, to the age of natural knowledge. You get this little mark on yourself and you type it in. You're already a little freaked out, and then you type it in and really freak out. Natural knowledge. We feed ourselves on natural knowledge. We feed ourselves. Watch this. Who cares what it is? And I'm not being arrogant. It's not wrong to find out in time. But you better find out in the light of truth, because in the end, who cares what it is if Jesus is Lord? But here's what we do. We're living day by day. What comes, comes. Whatever will be. And when trouble hits, we go help. We're not living prepared. We're not seeking the gospel and assuring our identity and standing in covenant. And when trouble hits, the gospel defends us. Most people cry out for help when trouble hits. Help! Oh my God. Watch this. They call every prayer chain they're aware of. And it's not a sign of faith. It's a sign of fear. And we say the religious thing, well, the more people praying, the better. You're just hoping one of them takes. You're just hoping. You're scared half to death. Serious. Because my Bible says if two just agree touching anything, we think the more prayer chains we call, no, it feels better to talk about the problem and get somebody to say it'll be okay and pray. We're trying to find encouragement in the midst of the trial, and we're revealing that we're lacking revelation of the covenant we're in, and we don't know what it means to count it all joy. So we get on the internet and we type in this little bump and it says, this could be, you could be in trouble. And it tells you what you better do right now. And we're so frantic, we're running and we're doing all that. And in the meantime, we're like trying to, in the name of the Lord. I've been through this. I've pastored for 9.5, 10 years. I've had people call me and do this one. Hi, Dan. Hey, are you okay? Oh, yeah, I'm okay. Yeah, I just was hoping you could pray with me. Look, I know God loves me. Hey, everything's fine. Jesus is Lord. And they say all the right stuff. Instead of just saying, Dan, I just got caught off guard. I'm a mess. I got told something I never thought I'd hear. I just need the mercy of God and I need you to pray with me and just love me through this because I'm a wreck. Instead, they do the Christian rhetorical thing, say all the right stuff. They're falling apart inside and they're standing there like they're a warrior and they're wiped out inside. And then when you pray, they're bawling because the diagnosis has them gone. But they're doing the right Christian thing and saying all the right stuff and believing everything about the problem. We do it all the time. And then we lose that person without addressing this stuff. We lose the people and we say, well, we don't know why God didn't. We prayed. We believed. Faith does not work by need. It works by love. Fear and faith are total opposites, and I found in the church that we move by fear predominantly. We pray, our prayer life is based on what's wrong instead of what's right. You get what I'm saying here? See, it would be better. We've gotten into a spiritual kind of realm that's not healthy. Like, say Dawn has a headache right now and it's just splitting wide open. It feels like her head's going to open up and split, okay? Huh? And watch this. And I say, Dawn, watch this. How you doing? And she says, hey, I'm great. Praise God. Bless God. I'm blessed coming in and going out. I'm the head and I'm not the tail. Praise God. He is the Lord of my life. And I'm like, well, praise God. Okay. Bless you. And I keep going. And yet her head, when I say, Dawn, how you doing? What should she say? Dan, you know, I'm really glad you ask because right now my head is splitting open and I have a headache. That's incredible. But I know that if we pray and believe, Jesus will take that because he paid the price on the cross. So thank you for loving me and praying with me. We're so busy trying to be spiritual on the outside and suffering on the inside that we don't realize what we're really doing. We think our outward confession is where it's at. No, it's the inward faith. I got to live from the place of revelation, not outward expression. So if you're really hurting and in trouble, wouldn't it be good to say, I'm in trouble? So that we can love you where you're at instead of trying to be. You say, yeah, but brother, that's faith. Absolutely not. That's fear. When those people are on the phone telling me about cancer and all this stuff, and they're trying to hold their voice strong and say all the spiritual things, and they're breaking and their voice is cracking, and when you hang up, you hear them crying. Who knows? That's not a healthy spiritual experience. That's deception. Let's just get to it and say, wait a minute, whoa. I need to be humble and confess this. I have been undone and caught off guard by this thing. And I need the mercy of God and I need help. Would you just lay hands on me and pray in the revelation of God's love that you have for me? Sure. Who knows? You'll see a whole lot more of the power of God flow through that than trying to say all the right Christian stuff and appear to be okay when you're a wreck on the inside. That's actually like charades. We think it's faith. That's charades. I told you about my wife last night. This is as true as I'm standing here. I'm not telling you to compare or put a hardship on you. It's something I see. When my wife was in that situation, I promise you, you can ask my kids. If you'd have met me on the street that afternoon, you wouldn't have known that was going on because I can't see that. It's not Lord. This is what I see. You say, oh, Dan, that's crazy. You can't. Absolutely not. You can get consumed and possessed by the gospel.
I believe that.
Natural knowledge is what's eating us up. We look at what's happening. We hear what's happening. And it registers as real. And yet his word says a whole lot about that. That's why I say we don't live from the position of problem to God. We live from the position of promise to problem. Come on. It's very clear. So I kept doing, I went into the office and I was still pastoring. I left the hospital when my wife was still in a seizure because God told me about his mercy. My wife was going through a tough time. She was saying a lot of things and she was going through a personal crisis of identity. And she was saying things that just, oh God, don't say that in my heart. I said, God, because I understand how you can put yourself down and degrade. And when this happened, this voice came to me and said, see,
She's just getting what she deserves. She's reaping what she sowed. All this stuff was hitting me and she's wiping out. Major seizure, hour long. Two shots and nothing, it got worse. And I'm here in this war and the devil's so evil, he wants me out of the picture. He doesn't even want me standing for her. He wants me to just let her go and just believe these voices that, hey, you reap what you sow. Hey, power of life and death's in the tongue. Hey, you're not worthy of this, then this is what you're worthy of. If you're not worthy of the kingdom, then you're worthy of this. My wife went through such a time there that she even said, you know, about wishing she wasn't born and she can't, and she was just going through a hard time. And all of a sudden, here she is, suffering that. That's heavy. And I got a devil going, every reason why she should be this way. You know, we could justify that, but I found a scripture in my Bible that says mercy triumphs over judgment. That the law of the Spirit of life in Christ has made me free from the law of sin and death. That wonderful Holy Spirit, he happens to be my friend too, and I like it. He whispered, I said in my heart, I said, Lord, this voice is really heavy. It's hammering me and it makes sense. But my spirit is like, yeah, I need to hear your voice. I want to pray what you're saying right now. I just don't want to jump in and just pray because. And here's what the Lord said to me. Mercy. He said, mercy. I was done. Done. Finished. See y'all later. I'll be back. I just left. She's still seizing, bouncing off the bumper pads of the bed. Growling like an animal. Boo, boo, boo. And I just left. I just went out of the hospital. I said, I'll be back later. I just went out and cried and just thank God that he's incredible. Cause I knew what my wife was going through. She got to a point, a season in our life where she even stereotyped me and expected me to say what I was saying because of my position and who I was. Yeah, it's terrible. Deception. I'm not mad at her. It's deception. To where when I'm trying to love her, she can't receive it because I'm supposed to. Yeah. But there's a way that seems right to a man. So this was this little season as this all happened. And now I'm out in the car just weeping because God's so merciful. And I said, thank you, Lord. And this was my prayer. I said, I just appreciate you raising little Kimmy up. I said, she's precious to me. I said, I don't want to lose her. I don't want another wife and I don't want to be without one. I said, you gave her to me and you're keeping her. And I thank you for it. And I drove home. Didn't pray another prayer. Just drove home. You'd have met me at the gas station. I wouldn't have said, oh my gosh, keep us in prayer. You know what happened? Oh, you can't believe what happened. My wife's just going, oh, it's terrible. I wouldn't have, because that's not what I see now. You get it? I would have been totally okay. Who sees that's a whole lot different than me going, oh, everything's fine. See what I'm saying? I'm trying to use an illustration because I was through this. So I get home and I tell the kids what's going on. And this is the kind of daddy I am, okay? I'm not asking you to agree with it. I'm just sharing it. My boy started crying when the doctor called after I told him. The doctor called and I said, yeah, they had run the EEG. Said she's severely brain damaged. Okay? Who knows the EEG and the technology they have today? It's probably not lying. Okay? Severely brain damaged. Who knows that that's not a problem unless that's what you see? I'm being real straight. I don't usually talk this straight bang to people that I don't know, but listen, we need to question, are we geared up in this gospel and do we see what God is saying or do we see what the situation is saying? What do we see? Because what we see, we have. What you see, you can have. If you see it, it's yours. If you just see despair and destruction and fear, it's yours. If you see him, it's yours. So I hung up the phone and my boy heard me talking and he said, Daddy, who was that? I said, it was the doctor. He said, what did he say? I told my son and he immediately started crying. I said, stop that. Absolutely not. You just saw how straight I got. Absolutely not. You have no permission to cry those tears right now in this kitchen because those tears have definition and they're saying the trouble is greater than the God we serve and stop it, son. I'm giving you no permission to cry those tears. You say, that is so hard and so insensitive. You need to understand that boy and his sympathy and his emotion. Absolutely not. The only reason he has the ability to cry those tears is because man fell and sinned and walked away from God. He was never created to cry those tears. Come on, I'm getting in your face a little here on this. This is strong. I hope you can handle it. He was not created to cry those tears. He's created to know God and walk with God. Rejoice. And again, I say, rejoice. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing, and in everything, give thanks. The angel said, I bring you good tidings of great joy. You can tell by the countenance of the church, we don't understand the gospel. Serious. We don't. We are glum. We are in the church, and we almost look more miserable sometimes in our lifestyle and life set and mindset because we feel God owes us all this stuff. And now I'm in church. Where's God been? And the world that doesn't even know God is actually having a better time solically in the world. I'm having the time of my life. I think I sleep with a smile. I ask my wife, is there a smile on my face when I'm sleeping? Because I feel it in my heart. See, good tidings of great joy. Wow. I told you last night, if you think it's all about you, you're way deceived. It's all about him. If you think it's all about you, then you'll be moved by everything that's happening to you and around you. You got to be moved by him. I'm his child. I'm an ambassador of who he is. I don't want anything to move me but him. So I told my boy that, and I said, son, we need to go in the hospital. I want you to go with me. We're going to pray. We're going to speak over her in light of that diagnosis. And we're going to watch God raise mama up. And I want you to be there with me. He said, I can't go. I said, I'm not going to make you. I love you. And I won't think less of you if you don't go. I understand. But I want you to, if you will. I never saw him dig in so deep. This is his mother on ICU, life support. He puts his head on the dryer and he's just like that for 20 minutes. And I didn't say a word. I just walked away and was doing things. And I hear him say, Dad. I said, yes, I'm going with you. I said, that a boy. So we got in the car and we went. We prayed over her in authority. Well, we walked in and I popped her eyes wide open. Her eyes were closed, of course. She's on a breathing machine. They're keeping her alive. And I popped her eyes open. And I realized it, but I didn't let it move me. Her eyes, they weren't there. Did you ever look into the eyes of a dead person? You can't find their eyes. It's a lost gaze. That's what my wife looked like. You couldn't find her eyes. Like I'm looking at yours. I couldn't find hers. But I popped them wide open and I jumped up on the bed with my knees. And I said, I got right up on her. I said, hey, girl, your boys are here. I said, we just love you. And I had a little fun and I realized I was being lighthearted for my son because he never saw anybody on ICU, let alone his mother. And I said, listen, we just had to run to the grocery store. I said, you've been in this nap long enough. You got to come out of this nap. I said, we just went to the grocery store and it was pitiful. I said, we need you. And I said, and tomorrow morning he's talking about me ironing a shirt. And I said, girl, you've got to wake up. Now is fine. So I'm chuckling and laughing. My son told me later, he said, Dad, that was so real coming out of your heart. You were just talking to her like she is normal. He said, and I realized that you were doing that and it was God helping me. Because he said, if I'd have walked in that room, all I could see is that. Now he was a child being real, revealing something. What you see is what determines you. When you walk in that room, what you see is the platform from which you come from. Come on, I hope I'm making sense. If those tubes and her appearance is what's moving you, how are you ever going to pray in authority and power? If that's all you can see, you say, but Dan, that's the reality of her situation. And this is the reality of God. And if this is all I can see, I'm in a good place. So I prayed in Jesus' name and spoke life and breathed down over her head. And of course, you're expecting her to just pop up. I saw four or five people come out of comas. praying for them where they just popped up. It's fun. It really goes through you. So I wanted my wife to just pop up, and she just laid there like nothing happened. Still breathing on the machine. And I looked at my boy. I said, thanks for coming. I said, man, that's awesome. The right to speak life. I said, I'll take you home, son. I know you got some things. Da, 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 da. We get in the car and I said, listen, how'd you feel at school today? Bummed out. He said, I felt like, I was just going to never see mom again. Just have a mom that's just kind of there. He was sharing his heart. And I said, so you were bummed out. I said, not anymore. All right. I said, because Jesus is Lord and he's got this thing. He said, you're right, Dad. I'm okay. I said, attaboy. We take off. I go back to the hospital. I'm sitting in the windowsill. The neurosurgeon came in. He's saying, you know, this and that. And these little twitches mean nothing and da, da, da. And he says something about being a child. He said, but I'll tell you, if she would ever just open her eyes, we're looking for something nominal, something big. Like if she would just open her eyes, he said, that would be the big one. And I'm sitting there like a little kid thinking, it'd be like you guys. How long have you been married? 19 years. So you've seen her eyes open plenty of times. You've seen them closed a few, but you've seen them open all the time, right? So I'm sitting there thinking, open your eyes. My gosh, just open your eyes. I'm not thinking brain damage. I'm just thinking, I've seen Kimmy open her eyes a million times. Just open your eyes. It's just simple. Just open your eyes. That's how childlike I'm thinking in the windowsill. And he's like talking, and her mom was there and sisters, and they're talking, and she twitched, her pinky moved, and he said, none of that means nothing. And he said, I understand you're trying to draw hope from these things, but da, 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 da. I'm just sitting in the windowsill and I'm thinking, just open your eyes. Kimmy, that's simple. Hello. And she's laying there and she goes, just opens her eyes right up. It's too cool. I jump off the windowsill, and I'm pretty aggressive and overwhelming. I leaped up on the bed and said, hey, girl, we've been waiting for you. And she went right back out again. I was like, oh, God. And I'm so happy she opens her eyes. I just know God's on this thing. I went home, and I slept like a baby, literally. Woke up. The Lord said, today's a day of great increase. Go in and see your honey. I went in. There's my precious wife sitting up, unhooked, totally awake. Now, I'm talking that from experience, and I'm asking you to humbly hear me. You might have been through loss and crisis, but if we'd be humble, we're moved so much by what's going wrong to where it is the major influence and force of our prayers, what's going wrong. What motivates faith is what's right. What motivates the revelation of truth is what he accomplished and what he says about the problem. What God says about that situation is what is my platform for prayer. Not how I feel and not what it seems and not what I need from God. What God gave to me through his son. That's the position of faith. Am I making sense? Okay. Did I turn you to Romans 8 a long time ago? Are y'all still there? Okay. Verse 28. And we know. My question is, do we know? See, because I'll just use the phrase not to offend you. Come hell or high water, he's the Lord. Right? So do we really know that? Because a lot of people are like, oh, no, not this again. Oh, no, here we go again. Oh, not another. Oh, God, what's going to go wrong next? That can be a normal mentality in the church. Driven by what could go wrong. Looking over your shoulder, thinking yesterday. Some of us, we run to our bed at night like it's our savior because we're so glad today is over and we made it through. And we dive in our bed like it's our savior and we go, oh, because we got through another day. But watch what it affects. You got to wake up for another. And if you wake up for another, you're threatened and intimidated by the way the day's been. Now it's hard. That's where depressions and things like that come from. Lack of motivation. Don't want to get out of bed. Why? Because you don't have the perception. I encourage people their bedside. I don't care how tough it was. You'll control and cut covenant with you and then you'll have the fail rest and live your day in the other day. What a terrible Excuse me for using that phrase, but I got to say it. What a terrible way to live. That's wrong perspective. If my eye is good, Matthew 6:22, Luke 11:34, the eye is the lamp of the body. If my eye's clear, if it's good, if it's single, my whole body's flooded with light. If it's not, my body's filling with darkness. And if the light in you is darkness, how great is huge? Single. If your eye's single, if it sees in agreement with God, one way view. It's not optional. It's not multiple choice. I see one way through him. He's the way, not a way, the way. Does this make sense? Very, very important. A lot of us have been taught that the gospel is we get saved so that we have a better life and God blesses us. And then when opposition comes, we question the love of God. We question where God is. We say, why is he letting this happen? He said, trials and troubles will come. In me, you have peace. In the world, you have tribulation. In me, you have peace. Trials and troubles are going to come. But be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. What he means is he's brought a new perspective and a new view. He brought his kingdom perspective here, and we need to live by it. We need to see what he sees. We need to live from heaven's view. Last night I turned you to Colossians and we never actually read it, but it says if you're in the Christ, then get your mind off. If you've been raised with Christ, get your mind off the earth and get your mind up here where Christ is in the above realm. And it says, set your mind on the things above, not the things of the earth, because you died and your life is hidden in Christ Jesus. Whew. We are so moved by natural knowledge, rationale, common sense. We had a great talk last night at the house, and all of us were there, and you brought up a great comment about and your response really impressed me about human reasoning and common knowledge and finding God through our human reasoning and da da da. And we talked about how God didn't give you your human reasoning. Everybody says God made us this way. No, we became that way when we fell. We were created to know God and God alone. The knowledge of good and evil wasn't ours. The knowledge of the tree of life was ours, and all they ever heard was God and his word. When the devil spoke, that was the first time they heard anything contrary. When they yielded to it and embraced it and followed it, they became subservient to another way. And all of a sudden, now here we are with this mixed bag of, yeah, but, well, you know, well, you got to use wisdom, brother. Whose wisdom? Yours or God's? Come on. You can talk yourself out of the possibilities of God's power in a moment. But yet his word is true, and Jesus paid the price. He says, lay hands on the sick and they shall recover, period. And we interject all kinds of feelings, emotions, and mindsets into that and let human wisdom creep in and quench the power of God that's been established through the risen Christ. I don't want to see anything else. I don't want to see anything else but what God said. Forget the knowledge of good and evil. I want God. I want the word of God. I want to follow God. Do you get it? I don't want anything else. So when my wife's laying there thrashing and she's on life support, I don't want to see that. It's not that I can't see it, but it's not Lord. He is Lord. It's not that I'm denying she's going through that. I'm just saying it's not Lord. What she's going through doesn't rule and reign. Jesus reigns. That changes everything when you lay hands on her and pray. You're not praying for her out of despair and fear and, God, I hope so, and if you don't come, I'll be devastated. You're taking your rightful created authority and position in Adam through the last Adam, Jesus, and you're subduing the earth in the anointing of God. Yeah. You follow what I'm saying? That's really, really fun. It's a perspective. It's a mindset. I preached on unwavering faith in a home group one night in my house on a Saturday night, and about never budging and never moving. And that night, my son woke up in the middle of the night, 7 years old, blue, turning blue, couldn't breathe. Daddy, it was a devil. It came and grabbed him to shake the confidence of the word out of me, to shake me, to get me gun shy, to get me like, oh my God, my kids are vulnerable now and I gotta watch what I'm preaching because now the devil's after me. The devil has lost. Don't fear the devil. He's trashed. If you see that, he's defeated. He is not my problem.
I looked at my son and I smiled and I said, it's okay, son. It's just the devil. My wife got a little nervous because she's a good mama. She loves her boy. And she's like, honey. And I said, no, we're not going there. She put her head under the pillow and started to cry. My wife, because she's just trying to be humble. She's being real. She's saying, this is bothering me. This is my baby. And I said, buddy, let's go out. I said, just for mommy's sake, let's go out of the room. He's in the bedroom. It was so dramatic, you wouldn't have believed it. I'm smiling. I walk out and I close the door. I said, bud, it's okay. It's just the devil. Set him on my lap. I looked up and said, Father, I'm so glad you sent Jesus and you revealed your heart and your love for us through Jesus. That's all I said. I didn't pray for him. I just said that. And he instantly said, Daddy, I'm fine. I said, of course you are. The devil's a loser. Of course you are. And I just held him. Boy, who knows, that sure beats going, oh my God, Satan, I rebuke you and I command you, get out of my son. You let him go. You're already saying what you're doing is moving me. What you're doing is working. It's affecting me. It's influencing me. And I'm praying from the position of what you're doing instead of what he's done. Come on, I hope you're getting this. Because we've been taught to say and do all the right things, but we say and do them and they don't work. A lot of times. Come on, if we'd be honest. Because it becomes Christian rhetorical. It's like we're taught, so if Katrina comes to me for prayer and I'm taught that she has to have faith to be healed and know God and not talk negative and all of a sudden, so she comes up to me for prayer and she's talking to me and I hear fear and a little negativity. All of a sudden I got four reasons why maybe Katrina's probably not going to get healed, but since she's asking and we're at church, I'll pray anyway because it's the Christian thing to do, but I'm not expecting her to get healed because there's things she needs to brush up on and change before God can touch her, but I still pray. And then when she doesn't get healed, I say, well, no wonder Katrina needs to change. What a twist and deception. I don't care what she says or thinks in that case. I see Jesus' love for her and her value. And she's going to get what she's asking because Jesus loves her and he's Lord. In Jesus' name, I'm going to pray for her. It's irrelevant what she's thinking and feeling.
Yay. That sure frees things up, doesn't it?
We say, well, if they just get more faith, they could be healed. We said this last night. She said this really tore her up. She heard it on the tape. I said, why don't the sick people look to us and say, wait a minute, you were the one representing Jesus to me. I thought you knew him. Where's your faith? The sick are to call the believers to pray and anoint. And the prayer of faith will save the, whose faith? The sick or the people they're calling? Come on. That's a good thought, Ed, just as a pastor. Is any among you sick? James 5:14. Let them ask for the elders. That means spiritual believing or spiritual maturing ones. It doesn't mean holding the office of elder because you can go into a church that holds the office of elder and they don't even believe healing's for today. It means spiritual believing one, spiritual maturing one. Ask a spiritual believing one, a spiritual maturing one to pray for you, anointing you with oil, pray over you the prayer of faith, and the prayer of faith will save the sick. Period. End of discussion. Period. Here's what we do. We go in as an ordinance and rhetorically do that and say, boy, God, I hope you will to heal him. I hope you move. I hope you heal him. I find myself praying stuff and people hear you and they think, and people want to criticize quick because they don't understand. Men are quick to mock and scoff what they don't understand. And that's just a sign of pride. If you don't understand it, you ought to stay humble and seek understanding. Don't contest it. For heaven's sakes, if you don't understand it, what are you contesting? It's just easy to go, well, I don't think. And we'll never know God that way. That's pride. That's But I say it in situations, cancer. I'm not asking you, I'm commanding you in the authority of Jesus Christ, you come out of them now. And that person could be scared half to death that they're going to die. And I've seen, I don't know how many live. I had a lady bring her husband with leukemia to a service. And I'm preaching just like I'm preaching today and saying what I'm saying today, stuff like this. And we went to pray for her husband and she started to cry. And I figured it was emotion welling up because this is crunch time. This is the big moment. That's how she's feeling, I'm thinking. And she stops me and says, excuse me, I have to, can I say something? I said, sure. She said,
We're really skeptical about all this. Is that going to matter?
I started giggling. And I said, honey, this train is rolling. Just jump on the ride. Leukemia. Gah! And I'm telling you, he literally went, and leukemia. Phew. Doctor said, first time in 50 years of that strain of leukemia, they ever saw it bow out of the body. Yeah. Is that coincidence or is it the message I'm preaching? We had a discussion downstairs, Ed and I. Is that a gift of healing? Or is that the power of the message, the revelation of what I see Jesus accomplish? It's available for the church. He told us to go heal the sick. He said, you go heal the sick. Tell them the kingdom of God is here. The way heaven works is on the earth. I paid the price to release my power here where you live. Heaven is here. We're not waiting to go there. He came here. Repent, change the way you think, because God's kingdom is on the earth. Your will be done, your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. If we'd say, is there cancer in heaven? Everybody'd say, no, then cancer must be destroyed on the earth. And we've got to aggressively, violently, militantly go after that spirit and watch it bow in Jesus' name. If I've lost people to cancer, I can't back off and let my experience change the word. The word is in position to change my experience. Come on. Don't ever give your circumstance the power to interpret God. God interprets your circumstance. And what he said in his word is true, period. Doesn't matter if I lost someone, even though it matters because there's hurt and loss. I'm not being unsympathetic when I say this. I'm saying that's not let what we're going through change what he said in our hearts. You think everybody I've ever prayed for jumped up and lived? I've lost folks. But do you see there's passion in me? Do you see I'm serious or do you think I'm putting on a show? I can't let my failure build a case against the gospel. I can't let what I feel like I failed in, or I'm not saying my failure, but what I fell short in, what I didn't get that I wanted, I can't let that change what I know. You get it? So when I lose somebody from cancer and then I hear of another one with cancer, I don't get intimidated and think, oh no, here we go again. I think I can't wait to touch them because this has got to change. We're going to win this one because Jesus is Lord. Well, that's a different thinking in the church. I hear people reach out and pray and get involved in somebody's life and they die and they say, well, I stepped out, I prayed and God didn't move and I'm never doing that again. I feel foolish. That means it's all about you. You stepped out. Who'd you step out for? You or God? Did you step out for you, for them, for God? You stepped out for you. If you're taking it personal and you're getting offended, you're still involved. You're way too alive. It's time to die. Come on, I'm just talking real straight now. I hope you're all right with that. I'm smiling. I don't even have the right. I don't have any right in my life but the right to be like him. Well, I got to quit. But I got to read this. We know all things work together for the good, for those who love God and those who are called according to his purpose. Watch this. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined. Why? To be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among who? Many brethren. These are covenant terms, family terms. Whew, this is heavy. Moreover, whom he predestined, he called. Whom he called, he justified. Whom he justified, he glorified. How? By filling us with the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead. If we're just waiting to go to heaven, church, why do we have the mighty Holy Ghost? Why did he fill us with the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead? Because he told us to raise the dead. He told us to heal the sick. He told us to cleanse the lepers. He's waiting on the church and we're trapped in religion waiting on God. We're gun shy and we're backwards and tail turned because our experience hasn't suggested this book. But this book is still true. We've got to go after it militantly till our experience lines up with his, period. Any less means my thoughts are in the way, my feelings are in the way, my wisdom's in the way, I'm in the way. I am not backing off of the gospel. I'm going to run the race worthy of a prize. It's period. You fall, you get up, you brush off and you march like a diligent soldier. You endure hardship and you press on and you no longer entangle yourself with the affairs of this life so you might please the one that enlisted you.
Come on, I'm just talking straight from my heart. This is how I live, or I wouldn't preach it to you. I'd be deceived to preach it to you if I didn't live this way. This is how I live. This is how I'm going to live. And I'm brushing up on it too. I'm going to live even more like this. I'm serious. I got visions. God has spoken to me and given me open visions, tongues, interpretation, and visions in stages. And I see where I'm heading, and I've got a hunger in me, and I'm going after it. And he's telling me, this is your destiny. This is what I've provided through my son. And it's not for me. It's for us. That's why I'm preaching it, so it can multiply, so we can get of like faith and like heart. I told you, I've seen a lot, but I haven't seen enough. Not even close. But I've seen a lot. Haven't seen enough. Let me finish. What shall we say to these things? Who did all this? God predestined us. God called us. God justified us, and he glorified us. I think we ought to just say yes and amen. I think we ought to say, woohoo, thanks for loving me, God, right? When I was unlovely, you loved me. When I was hopeless, you gave me hope. When I was lost, you found me. The gospel's true. The songs we sing, yay, they're true. When are we just going to receive that? See, we don't realize how much we're in the way. We don't realize how much we're expecting God to be a certain way for our sake, and how we need life and all our ducks to be in a certain row for us to be a certain way. You don't realize how your joy could be dependent on many other things than your salvation. Come on, think with me. That's idolatry. If something dictates your joy, that's a bullseye. The enemy will just pound that thing and keep you down. If there's something that determines your joy and your attitude and your personality of being up here, and it's other than God, you're a sitting duck. He will smell that out, and he will hit that thing, and he will keep you in derision. It's the truth. Look, I've really got to stop it. Just watch this last scripture. It's two verses. What shall we say to these things? If this is Paul reasoning in God, not human reasoning. This is scriptural reasoning. This is good. In light of what he said, what shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Now, you'll shout that in church at the right time when the music's right, and everybody will freak out and hallelujah, and you get in the right church, they'll go off when you preach that stuff. That's time. You can get into that, and everybody, woo, yay, yeah, and then turn right out and fall apart in the midst of life. So it's not about being able to quote it. It's about seeing what he's really saying. Look, if he's for me, who can be against me? Who can be against me if he's for me? Watch this. He who did not spare his own son. Did you hear that? He didn't spare his son. He gave his son. Oh gosh, come on. Get deep with me on this. Let it penetrate your heart. He didn't stop it. He didn't spare him. He gave him. Why? So he could spare me. You better believe I'm taking that personal. You too. So he can spare me. You too. Believe it. He delivered him up for us all. And if he did that, how shall we not give us with him freely all things? So through him, he gives us all things. Peter says in 2 Peter 1, the all things pertain to life and godliness. Whew. You get it? Amen.